I'm going to read today from Romans chapter 2 and from the end of the chapter itself. And in verse 26, Paul says, "Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfil the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." Today we're thinking about signs of life. Maybe something of a grim subject to think about by way of introduction, but when we consider someone, an individual, who has come close to death and yet are still alive, that when people are responding to, say, for example, an accident or an incident, maybe someone has been pulled from the water, they are on the verge of drowning, and there they are when the response is made, it is right and it is natural that people check for signs of life. And so the pulse is searched for. Is there a pulse? Is there breathing? Maybe eyes will be looked at. Other ways of inspecting and searching for those most basic and rudimentary things that we anticipate to be there if someone is still showing life. And if none of these things are there, then of course we are to find it confirmed for us in a medical sense that life has gone and the person has passed away. But all the time, there is a sign of life. There is hope. The scripture speaks of signs of life when it comes to our Christianity. Evidences that we are the children of God and no longer the children of this world or the children of wrath, even as others. What I will say is that when it regards the spiritual and the genuine life of the Christian, it actually poses something of a more difficult question. I've given you an example of there someone who maybe has nearly drowned, and there they are on a beach or beside a pool. And it's simple to look for a pulse because there's nothing else to confuse you or to cloud the situation. But when we think of Christendom and we think of the profession of many of Christianity, there are lots of things that can deceive us and confuse us when we're looking or trying to discern for signs of life. People appear to be very religious. People may have the appearance of godliness, and they may say the right things, and they may, to an extent, do the right things. But that is not always the case that such a person is actually genuinely born again. I say this not through my own judgment or my own assessment of Scripture. I say this because you come to a portion like Romans 2, and that was exactly what the Apostle Paul was dealing with. When he would speak to the Gentiles, he would speak also to the Jews. When he would show the wickedness and the ungodliness of those that were in heathen darkness and knew not God and worshipped the creation and not the Creator, he made sure that he would speak to his own people according to the flesh and to say to them that you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are that judges, because if you judge another, you're condemning yourself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. And he goes on into chapter 2 to remind the Jewish people, according to the flesh, the outward Jew, that irrespective of what they had and what they could boast in, their circumcision, their outward privileges, their name, their heritage, their history, all of these things, he makes it clear, look, none of these things matter. Even if on the outward you have all of these things, but inwardly you don't know God and you're not saved. And so that's his thought process. As you go through chapter 2 into chapter 3, he emphatically deals with this matter of universal sin, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. With that in mind, it helps us to understand what Paul is writing about at the end of chapter 2, when he mentions circumcision after many times. He says something in verse 28 which is quite profound. "For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly." Now, evidently, a Jew is someone that is Jewish outwardly, according to the flesh, according to their nationality, according to their background, and so on. But this is not what he's dealing with here. He's dealing with the true status of a child of God, one that is born of the Spirit, And he says, he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. Now, those things cannot be denied in the outward performance of them. Now, he says in verse 29, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. Now, when Paul was writing these words, he was not conjuring up something that was novel and new and had never been heard or thought about before. You go through Old Testament scriptures, and always the Lord is placing this emphasis upon the need of the heart of flesh, not the stone, coldy heart, even if outwardly the token or sign of circumcision had been accomplished and had been seen. So in essence, if I try to summarize these words, he speaks of signs of life. And naturally, it prompts us to ask the question. It's always good, whether it's myself or it's you, that we always seek these things. Are there the clear evidences that we are in Christ, that we have been truly born of the Spirit, that this is God's work and not just us trying to deceive ourselves or others? So we can think of these signs of life. And first of all, they must be discerned and looked for. My intention is not to place doubt upon anyone's conversion. I wouldn't do that. But for each of us just to simply bring ourselves before the Lord and to strip away all of the things which cloud the issue and confuse the matter, and just simply to ask the question, has there been that sign of life which has come from and resulted out of an inward change? That being born again. Remember how Paul speaks of it elsewhere as being a new creature in Jesus Christ. He is a Jew, Paul says, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart. You see, this is where God begins when he saves anyone from their sin. He doesn't start with their outward life. He doesn't make moral changes in them. He doesn't just polish us up or improve us on the outward appearance. No, he goes to the very heart. He goes to the source. He goes to the very fountain of where all the corruption is. We've seen so much around us in past days. Evidences of hearts which are far from God. Whatever the chaos may be around us, the need of the hour is the need of souls to be born of the Spirit of God, of changes within, not changes without, changes from the heart of the sinner. And that's something which crosses any spectrum, any part of society, any politic, any social ideology. It is the heart of the matter. And are we truly Christians? Or are we relying upon outward things? Are we just like Jews of Paul's day? We rely on our baptism, we rely on our church attendance, we rely on all of these things. God is speaking to us here, and he says there must be the inward sign of life. And so we must discern it, we must look for it. These signs of life will also be characterized by the praise of God and not of men. And so Paul writes here, doesn't he? He says that the circumcision is not that in the letter, not being able to conform to every written document and the law of God that was especially being referred to here. But this is the word that has been written by the Spirit of God. God's stamp upon you is not something which is crafted by your own hand or by your own skillfulness. It is the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And as a result, we're not looking for men to praise us. We're not looking for the adulation of those who are around us. No, we have been set apart by God, and we seek his praise, and we want the favour and the well done of God to be upon us. And I think that's one of the features of a genuine Christian. They're not looking around for men to praise them. They're not interested in the attention of the world. They want to do only those things which are pleasing and honouring in the eyes of God. I trust that we know these signs of life. Let's pray. We thank you, Father, for your word that never changes. And may you search us out daily through these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.